I've done that.
Oh, God. Well, that sounds like true enlightenment to me. And on the seventh day, the Lord said, let there be CKET.
Leah McFly, Montreal's dancer. You're tuning in with The Morning Detour with Weezy and Soul K. Okay, KK.
The Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
I have had an incredible career. I am grateful, not the shoulders that I stood on, but the backs that I laid on and stood on. While the women in our families picked the cotton with the babies strapped to their back, I'm grateful for them. I am super grateful that I have been here for 95 years, and I don't care. I can't. I have no idea who this person is. Do you understand that? I find myself looking in the mirror every now and then and saying, Cicely, do you believe this? I don't. But I am grateful to the Heavenly Father, to every single one of you who have held me up over these years. I want you to know that I would not be here if it weren't for each one of you. I am everlastingly grateful.
The Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
And I'm so tired, yeah, all I need is good vibes. Stay right on this side, yeah, all my niggas dying and the president be lying. I got up in this raw, I wanna fly, put this outside in the sky. Stay right on this side, yeah, all my niggas dying and the president be lying. I got up in this raw, I wanna fly.
Losing my cool, I'm losing my patience. You using your stimulus just to lose it in Vegas. I see a lot of APs, I see a lot of Rolexes. I'ma buy them off of these niggas right after the demic. I can show you a style, I can show you a rapper. After all this shit that happened, though, we gotta be brothers. Cat Williams said we good and we better than that. But we get shot and nothing happens, how we set up for that? You see my culture expensive, that's why they paying it to us. It be you Terry Crews, tap dancing for that. I never let nobody lesser treat me lesser than them. You can't have no Mr. Childs eating Panda Express. I'm burning sage in the studio before I let in. I leave my weapon by the speaker so they hearing me clear. I mean the money be cool, I did amazing this year. I mean I'm famous but I'm drained, I need some prayer for real.
And I'm so tired, yeah, all I need is good vibes. Stay right on this side. Yeah, all my niggas dying and the president be lying. I got up in this raw, I wanna fly. Put this outside in the sky. Stay right on this side. Yeah, all my niggas dying and the president be lying. I got up in this raw, I wanna fly.
Yeah, you know, slick as Elgato. Don't worry about the kicks, nah, Slim, you ain't got those. Rest in peace, Sir Maya, some pop smoke. I pray you keep some fire and some Palo Santo. The Capitol, the city was made of chocolate. I seen the Capitol building full of a bunch of rioters, looters, and super white people that was getting too rowdy. You do that and you black, they gon' clap you and hug your mommy like, cool story, whole country been cold-blooded. Tell Tammy Lawrence and Candace O'Neal it's nothing. And patriotic energy, iffy in 21, cause 2020 showed me my vision was truly blurry. I'm tired, I'm fried, we all need a reset. Akata or Naja, I always been a reject. I always been a lot of things, but none of them a weak link. But everything I lied, I hope you sparkin' when you
and
sing
I'm
it
so
like.
And I'm so tired, yeah, all
goodbye.
I need is good vibes. Stay right on this side, yeah. All my niggas dying and the president be lying. I got up in this raw, I wanna fly. Put this outside in the sky. Stay right on this side. Yeah, all my niggas dying and the president be lying. I got up in this raw, I wanna fly.
The Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Yes, Montreal, good morning, boys. The Morning Detour. We've survived multiple blizzards. It's Black History Month. We have the Morning Detour speed dating happening next week. Super Bowl's on Sunday. Ballerina, man. Things are going down. It's the mighty CKT 90.3 FM. This is the number one morning show in the city, The Morning Detour. I'm your host, Weezy Moonchaser, the Montreal Kobe Bryant. They know that I'm nice. They hate that it's me. I'm alongside Lorena. How you doing this morning, Queen?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Listen, man, I'm feeling jubilant. I saw a little... I'm using my powerful words in the morning. I'm really excited. We have a speed dating event coming up next week, but we'll talk about that later on in the show. Some of the top stories we will be covering this morning. Everything you need to know about Quebec's partial reopening plan for February is looking kind of shaky. Gyms are still not open. Spoiler alert. Is Quebec going to set up checkpoints to stop travel between zones? We're going to discuss that a little further. Canada also labels the Proud Boys neo-Nazi groups as terrorists, according to CBC. We'll discuss that. Man charged with attempted murder for alleged involvement in violent traffic stop in Montreal has been released. A case of mistaken identity, Lorena, I believe. And also, this is happening too much. We're going to have to deep dive about this. Driving while black. Lawyer files complaint after he was handcuffed during a traffic stop in Montreal. And it's Black History Month, Lorena. Do you believe the audacity? But before we get into all that, I must say this because my mama called me four times. My mom is Grenadian and my dad is Haitian. On February 7th was Grenada's Independence Day. So it's a national holiday in Grenada. This holiday is celebrated annually on the 7th of February and marks Grenada's independence from Britain on the 7th of February, 1974. Wasn't that long ago, but, you know, we're freed now, Lorena. So it isn't when it's happened as long as it did happen. For those that don't know, Grenada is a Caribbean country comprising a main island, also called Grenada, and smaller surrounding islands dubbed the Spice Isle. The hilly main island is home to numerous nutmeg plantations. Now, I've had the pleasure to go to Grenada multiple times. Been there at least six, seven times. It's beautiful, Lorena. Oh, man. You know, a lot of people call Grenada a small island in comparison to Trinidad and Jamaica. But I'll tell you this. It don't look that small. When I took the boat from Grenada to Carrico, which is another sister and small island, Grenada's beautiful, man. And the last time I was there, you know, my cousin Khaled, he showed me all the hilltops. I saw the volcanoes. What I didn't understand, Lorena, they have a little rainforest. And he was telling me how people have died because people get dragged under the rainforest. What? I saw people barbecuing. I saw people in the rainforest with their kids. They've been living wild on the island.
So they still go even though yes.
Yes. So you see, so there's a waterbed and there's the waterfalls. But you can see yes. There's a little creek that can drag you under. And apparently some people have died. You know, someone had been dragged under and then their friend went to save them. They got dragged under as well.
Under specific weather only?
Listen, I don't know. It looks strong to me, Lorena. I did not go in the water, but I went to the hilltop. I overlooked the whole Grenadian landscape. It's beautiful. I like to shout out the Nutmeg restaurant. Me and Shondell from DG Kicks, we always go to Nutmeg. It's right there in St. George's in town. The Mobby's like 20, EC's like $10 Canadian, Lorena. But man, it tastes good. Grenadian people, really polite. Listen, the women smell nice, man. I went to that national stadium. I saw Mavada perform for Carnival. And before I pass it on to you, I know you have a fun fact. Juve in Grenada. I want to urge everybody, go down to Grenada and experience Juve. You know, it's that Carnival, pre-Carnival turn-up event. I think it kicks off about 5, 6 in the morning. They throw paint everywhere. It's beautiful. It was wild. Now, you know, me and Shondell went, we just posted up on the side because, you know, we couldn't bring all that mud to the villa. But what an experience. What an energy. Great people. Grenada, Independence Day. Salute to everybody of Grenadian descent. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes. Well, that is on my list of places to go. I've never been to Grenada. But fun fact is on my page, The Crown Project, I'm posting about Black History Month and Black History like figures.
Right.
I posted about Malcolm X, but I don't want to post the same stuff all the time. So a fun fact that I found out is that his mom is actually from Grenada.
Say word.
Yeah, his mom from Grenada, and then she moved actually from Grenada to Montreal in Little Burgundy. Shout out to Berg. And that's where she met Malcolm X's father, and they attended UNIA meetings.
What are you saying? Malcolm X's mom is from Grenada, and they came to Montreal. Now you need to answer me this because I believe you're one of the unofficial mayors of Burgundy. How come everything seems to have stemmed from Burgundy? I know Burgundy people are going to be killing me in the mentions. Everything seems to kind of stem from Burgundy, right? Oscar Peterson, yeah, Malcolm X.
There's so much history. This is where all the English Black Canadians and immigrants also came and settled because a lot of them they couldn't find work, and the only work that was available to them was to become porters and I think red caps. And then women worked as domestic like cleaners and stuff like that at the YMCA and different things, but that's where they settled. In Little Burgundy, it was called, I think, St. Antoine or something like that beforehand, and then it got turned into Little Burgundy when they started to make the Ville Marie Expressway that runs through.
Well, listen, man, Montreal's a special place, man. What a really dope city, man. When you really immerse yourself in the history of things. Oh, what a beautiful city. Shout out to Grenada Independence Day. We got a slew of amazing guests this morning on the Morning Detour. This is like a variety show, Larina. We need 4 hours. We have Love Vera rejoining the show. For those that don't know, Love Vera is an intimate brand that celebrates black women. It's a lingerie company based out of LA. So I sat down with the founders and owners, Vera and Nate. If you're still looking for a gift for your significant other for Valentine's Day, lovevera.com. They have a Valentine's Day. You know what I mean? They have a Valentine's Day rollout, Larina. They got some outfits. She featured it. We discussed it. Great interview. Also, Kay interviewed, man, this girl's amazing too, Sarada. She's an artist, streamer, and songwriter. She has about 190,000 Twitch followers. She performed her whole album online. She sold about 1,200 copies. She even charted on Billboard independently. Labels turned her down. She said, you know what? I'm going to go straight to the people, direct to the consumer. So Kay has a great interview with her as well. And let me tell you, Larina, shout out to Warner Music Canada. They just keep sending us some great, great artists. I had the opportunity, the privilege to sit down with Love Man Sui. He's a Montreal-born, New Jersey-raised artist. We discussed his EP, Mon Sui, and I'm going to feature his track, I'll Be There. You know, he also has some features with notable artists like Lil Wayne. So that's always a good look.
Yeah.
Action-packed show. But I told y'all, for the next 2 shows, y'all hear me talk about this ad nauseum. The Morning Detour is doing a Valentine's Day event. It's a speed dating event. And let me tell you guys, we got guest speakers. We got giveaways, and we also have speed dating. Now, Larina, a lot of people are apprehensive. We put out the video explaining. Now, everybody's excited about it. We're even going to put out a little chart that gives you some key questions to, you know, conversation starters, you know, for the speed dating. Look at that, Larina. We gave them the starter pack. We gave them the event. We are not going to let COVID ruin the vibes. Enough is enough, Larina. Great idea brought to us by our producer, Larina, right here. Explain to us, Larina, just real quick, how is the speed dating portion going to work?
Speed dating portion is going to be really simple. The host of the event, Weezy Moon Chaser and Kay, are going to direct you to the networking tab, which will be on the left hand of your screen. You click on that, it will tell you to make sure that your camera and your mic is good. You accept, you hit ready, and the system will connect you with somebody. You're in that room with that person for a minimum of 5 seconds, I think. And if within the 3 minutes, it's 3 minutes max, within the 3 minutes, if you're connecting with that person, you're going to click the connect button at the bottom of your screen. If that person also clicks connect, at the end of the event, your information will be swapped with the other person so that you guys can take it offline and then connect after the event as well.
See that, people? Easy peasy. Now, if you enter the room and you don't like what you see, there is a leave button.
But now, don't be rude about it. Don't just click leave. Like, get to know the person, have a laugh, talk about maybe what you heard in the panels or whatever. But if worst case scenario, like let's say you're matched up by accident with your brother or sister or something like that. Yes, after the 5 seconds, both of you agree to leave and then hit that button. But just don't ghost a person.
No, it's important that you say don't ghost a person. Now, let's be honest, guys. Let's have fun. We haven't had dope events in a long time. I know we have the Twitch DJs. I know we have dope seminars. Listen, let's be honest about it. Not everybody's going to come on just looking for love. Some people are looking for companionship. Some people are looking for conversation. It's dope to connect with other people. And now's a safe way to do it. It's a dope way to do it. Come on, it's hosted by the Morning Detour. Let's get it together. Now, if you want to register for the Morning Detour virtual speed dating event, you can go on our IG, Detour514, or on our Facebook, The Morning Detour. The link is there. It's really easy, and it's only $10. We have an estimated prize value of over $1,000 of prizes when you combine them all together. So it's a really advantageous event. We have dope speakers. So even if you're in a couple, still come enjoy the speaking engagements. We have a vendors tab with different companies there that supported the movement. So it's still a good, it's a dope night. It's February 13th. It's from 9 to 11. Listen, man, that pre-Valentine's Day vibe. I'm telling you, the Morning Detour always bringing you the vibes. Let's play some music. When we come back, we have a dope interview with Love Vera. It's the Morning Detour on the Mighty CKT 90.3 FM.
Cool and drink.
It's 2021. Time to bring the light in. We're going to bring the light in, you know? DJ Khaled, I see you. Cool and Dre, I see you. Christine Jewelers in the building. L Boogie, Lorena, Terrell is the flies. Let's get it. Want that old thing back, pretty young thing, want that OG crack. Straight savage when I got my Fenty on. Do the douce when it turns a deli on. She got a man and he stuck in the feds. Said he gon' kill me cause she up in my bed. We wear chains that are psyched to knocks. Only G7s when the flights depart. Stash pesos and Turks and Caicos. Dapper Dan Dawn, the first to break those. Now back to Caicos. Throw your rollies in the sky, my guys will take those. Lower east side, I'm up in NY. See me on the floor with Obi courtside. Baddies on deck, you know I'm loving them. Still in the meeting with Khaled.
Another one.
Waiting on that sunshine, boy, I think I need that back. Can't do it like that. No one else gonna get it like that. So why are you, yeah? Would you take me back? Who cares when it feels like crack? Well, you know that you always do it right.
Crack man and I'm out of the game. Silk shirts and a couple of chains. I go deeper and deeper. Sign a prenup, you know it's cheaper to keep up. Crack work in a two-seater. Put you in Milan, you can kick your feet up. Tank cap, pinky ring on the dawn, I told her.
The Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Yes, Montreal, my city, is Black History Month. It's also a month for lovers. It's Valentine's Day. Now, two of my favorite people, and shout out to Lorena for putting us in contact with them. Two of my most favorite people in the world is Nate and Vera. For those of you that don't know who Nate and Vera are, they're in 2018, they launched a beautiful company called Love Vera. It's an intimate brand that celebrates Black women, Black entrepreneurship, and Black cultural influence. The name stems from love that Vera maintains for others and its limitless power as a problem solver, peacemaker, and unifier. I want to welcome to the show, friends of the show.
What's up?
Vera and Nate, what's going on, Nate?
Not much, you know, trying to get some of this Cali sunshine and pick everything out on time for Valentine's Day.
We don't want to hear nothing about sunshine in Montreal. We just coming off a blizzard this week. I got snow everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's always a pleasure to have you guys on. It's apropos, it's Valentine's Day. You guys have an intimate brand. How has everything been going on with Love Vera so far?
Everything is really great. Like Nate said, we're just rolling our Valentine's Day orders out on time. We just launched the Valentine's Day collection a couple weeks ago, and people seem to really be into the different styles that we have, so I'm really excited about that.
And I'm really excited about it, too. Because of the pandemic, we weren't able to like do our big photo shoot. We had something like really dope planned out. I can't say.
No, okay. Hold on. Before you go to that, for people that don't know what's really dope, and especially since the first time I interviewed you guys and a lot of my friends in Montreal went on the side, they're like, wow, all the models are Black. And there's even plus size models too. And we have some plus size friends as well. I love the fact that you guys primarily hire Black models. Can you guys just speak to that a little bit for the people listening across the city? Why only Black models, Vera and Nate?
So when we went to go launch the brand and we played with a couple different ideas and like how we wanted to present ourselves as a brand, we noticed that there was a lack of diversity in the fashion industry. And we wanted to do lingerie specifically, obviously. And so we're like, oh, why don't we do like something different, mm-hmm. you know, that highlights Black women and shows them in a different light.
Yeah. I feel like overall the fashion industry, you see so many stories about these brands that would take, you know, Black dollar, Black representation for granted. You know, I don't want to get too specific, but just things that really, you know, painted us in a negative light and played to stereotypes. You can tell that, you know, we were tokenized, that there weren't Black people working on these campaigns or these designs, because if there were, these sorts of things wouldn't have happened. So, you know, we believe that, okay, if we can portray our community in a positive light, portray our women in a positive light, and create opportunities, right? Like, one of my favorite things about it, you know, I'm more like the business nerd kind of person, is that, you know, if it's a good business, it's sustainable, right? We'll be able to hire models and photographers and people, you know, a year from now, 10 years from now, right? So, you know, you create those opportunities and you run a good business, and you improve the way we're portrayed. It seemed like a win to both of us.
No, but you guys also took it a step further as well, where it's artistic. Your initial photo shoots are like, you know, this is like, and I'm gonna go say it looked better than Victoria's Secrets. When I saw the girls in the gold and they glossy and the different shades of black and the different shades of size, and to see how empowering it looks. And as you said, Nate, more importantly, you're keeping the black dollar in the community by hiring black models of the like. So it's a beautiful thing. Listen, the website looks really professional. You guys have an eye. Vera, you want something with your stylings. I know what's going on here. It's Valentine's Day, so I want to get you guys on early. The website is lovevera.com. I'm going to say it a million times throughout the interview. Lovevera.com. If you don't know what to get your partner, this is the place. What do you guys have in store for Valentine's Day? I'm excited. What can we expect from Love Vera?
So we launched a couple different pieces in our Valentine's Day collection. The most popular right now is the Candy Apple Red set. It's a three-piece set with a skirt, a bra, and a bottom. And the bustier has been very popular too. So yeah, its size is small to 4X.
You have anything else, Nate? That was it. I feel like Nate don't want to give me the secrets. Nate,
she covered it. You know what's great about it is we launched the collection. You know, it was very well received. I was excited about how well it was received. We beat what we anticipated we would do just in terms of volume and demand. But, you know, it's great because we have some variety on the site, and lingerie is so personal, it's so specific about who wears it and, you know, how you wear it. Yeah. You know, you could dress it up, you could wear it at home, that, you know, we have lots of great things that people are still buying on the site, so they can make it personal and just do it how they want it. Mm-hmm. But that's the great thing about, you know, I mean, we have lots of different customers that, you know, we're happy to serve. But like, majority of our customers are Black women, and it's like they have so much style that, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be the skirt, it could be the bustier, it could be whatever. They're gonna, you know, put it together and just put their own flair to it. And I think that's so dope.
What I wanted to ask you guys as well, what is one of the biggest challenges? Because when, you know, you're catering to Black women and they're a little bit more opinionated, a little bit more fussy with their intimates. Severe, when you go into your creative space, what are you kind of looking for to create when you're thinking about, okay, I know Black women are going to buy this, where should I go with next?
Honestly, I don't really have to think about it too hard just because we are like our target. Like, I'm a Black woman, he's a Black man. So we kind of already know, and then we talk to our mothers and our sisters and just friends and people that we know. So it's pretty easy to kind of figure out and, you know, stay on trend and know what our lovers want to see, so...
One thing that's even surprising to me, and most people might not know this, is, you know, like Vera, she's really the eye that's like goes into all the designs and stuff like that. And we started this, like, she wasn't designing things, you know, she's a savvy business person and all that. Like, you know, I consider myself savvy too, but as far as her eye for design, that's really something that's, you know, I don't want to say surprised me, but it's exceeded what.
Your initial expectations.
My initial expectation.
first of all, you guys jumped into a market that is, you know, it's not run by black people. It's not predominantly run by black people. And you guys created this niche thing. So most people, most entrepreneurs would have been even apprehensive to get into a market that we didn't feel like we could really get a foothold in. And you guys still took that challenge on. And I think you guys are doing a great job at it. I want to give you guys one of my reactions to one of your outfits. Over the holidays, you guys were so gracious to send me and my partner an outfit. But I had forgotten about it. So around the holidays, you know, we're doing our thing, you know, with Canada, you know, with the pandemic.
You're not about to pull up a tape, are you?
No, I did pull out the silhouette challenge with Shoy. That shut IG down. But let me tell you how my mind, I got so much things going on. So the holidays come around and, you know, we're doing our thing, we're locked down. So we're drinking and everything's going on. And she comes out and she has the robe. She has a robe on. So I'm not even I'm half Haitian, so I had I maybe had a little bit of cream ass. My girlfriend, she's a big fan of Glenlivet, so there must have been some Glenlivet going on and some other things that we can't discuss because it's a morning show. But we moving.
You have some music on.
Yeah, yeah. She has her own little mixes on Spotify. She does her own little thing, her little soul tie. So the vibe.
You gotta take the whole picture.
Yeah. So the vibe is set. I got my shade, but I'm looking shiny. So she come. I'm not even thinking about it because Nate sent it to me, and I was like, okay, I gave it to her. She's like, oh god. So I'm not even thinking about it. So she comes out and she's wearing the robe. She pops the robe out, and my eyes is like a Looney Tunes cartoon. You know, when your eyes just go out of your body. And I was like, this is the power of love, Vera. When I saw it, I forgot the one I got, but it was the one, a whole bunch of spacing and cords. It looked really sexy. I'm like, yeah, a black woman designed that.
You got the wild rose set.
Woo! But when you see it spring on you, and you're not expecting La Vera to show up in your bedroom, it's a beautiful day, man. What a great company, man.
That's dope. We're glad you had a good experience.
I sure did.
Our community, they're really great with sharing their stories. So, you know, they love your babies and everything out there.
I'm not there yet. Y'all need to stop throwing it in. I know my girl listens to this show. She's like, oh, yeah, it's happening. Munch on my seat. I've been speaking with Nate and Vera, that are founders and creators of Love Vera. It's an intimate brand that celebrates black women and black entrepreneurship. Nate and Vera, let the people know how they can connect. You guys also have gift cards. So if people just want to give their intimate partner or someone else a gift card, that's possible too with Love Vera, right?
Yeah,
lovevera.com. There's a section with gift cards, or you can search for it. It'll pop right up. You pick the amount, and we'll send it out right away. So
I want everybody in Montreal to understand, we have one super item. We're gonna do like the shopping network. Vera, let them know one more time the special outfit, the hot seller in the Valentine's Day. What do you guys got over there?
Gold, candy apple red, three-piece set. It's a vibe. Like, you'll love it.
You see, when a black woman says it's a vibe, all the young girls are like, yeah, I do. Can you guys send me the pictures?
You know what I said? When we first saw it, you know, like, fully come together and photographed and everything, I was like, people go wear that to the club when it's open.
Listen.
And she didn't believe me, but then people take pictures, pictures outside. Yeah, it's dope.
Listen, y'all make me happy that I broadcast and I do radio, because I get to meet dope people like you guys. Because I didn't think I'll ever connect with a black owned company that does lingerie. I'm like, this is sexy. This is dope. Now, before I let you guys go, y'all gotta give me one story. You guys gotta give me, Vera, what did Nate do for you the first Valentine's Day you guys were together? You know, let's promote black love. You know, let's not get too racist. I don't want to pry too much, but I want to show people, you guys, it's black love is beautiful. It's February. It's Black History Month. We're celebrating black entrepreneurship. So leave us with a little story. What did Nate do? Because Nate looks like he's a very strategic person. And now that I see him face to face, Nate looked like he's a very precise person. If he has a plan, he's going to draw it up and he's going to execute. How much roses did he buy for you that first Valentine's Day?
I had roses. You got me a computer, which was obviously a type of material thing, but it was really important to me just because, like, he's always, like, pushing me. And, like, it's always, like, something that has to do with, like, me becoming a better woman or a better business person. So I really like that.
She had Windows 95 on her computer. And
he picked me up from work, and we met in Baltimore. So we had dinner in Baltimore. It was like a really nice dinner. It was really nice.
Yeah, so the story, it checks out, but you know, it was special because you know, I was living in Washington, D.C. at the time, yeah, and you know, I didn't go to Baltimore too much, and it was just kind of a chance connection. But the restaurant, I went to a business dinner at the restaurant where I ended up meeting the I guess the venue owner that I visited, where I met Vera.
Okay. So
it was that kind of chance connection. So we kind of went back there to have dinner and just enjoy ourselves as like a full circle kind of moment. Uh-huh. So,
well, look at that love, Vera. I felt like Vera's the one that approached you when you guys first met. Like, she saw you. She's like, okay, he had a nice lineup. He had the Magic Johnson smile. I'm going to get with this bread. Am I right? Was it Vera that stepped to you?
No, I'm too shy.
Stop.
I noticed him, but he had to approach me.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Like you said, I'm strategic.
I know. I see. I have a college degree in psychology. I can read people a little bit. Well, listen, guys. We're going to throw up the link to your website, lovevera.com. Montreal might say, I've been speaking with Vera and Nate. They're the founders and owner of Love Vera, intimate clothing brand based out of L.A., but they can ship anywhere around the world. So if you're looking for interesting ideas for Valentine's Day, I urge you to go to lovevera.com. Everything is sexy. You might have some Love Vera babies by next September, but that's okay. Loving is caring. Love Vera, I appreciate you guys. Always a pleasure having you guys on the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
The Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Montreal's The Morning Detour. Weezy Moon Chaser here, Lorena. Now's about the time for us to do some news. Lorena, let's start off locally, and then we'll branch out internationally. everything you need to know about Quebec's partial reopening plan for February. Now, Lorena, I was like, boy, the curfew was going to be done. Nope. That's a wrap. Gyms are going to be open. Nope.
This curfew wasn't done.
So at a press conference on February 2nd, Premier François Legault announced a series of reopening plans in Quebec with an eye towards restarting the economy once again. So retail stores, hairdressers, and museums will be reopening across the entire province, no matter the zone. I want to pause right there. Did you feel it was really important to open the museums, Lorena? Like, that was a necessity? Because how much is it to go to the Musée des Beaux-Arts? Is it expensive?
It depends, but no, it's not expensive.
But I'm really happy about this. Also includes non-priority businesses, so people like DG Kicks and stuff like that, you know, are black entrepreneurs. They could reopen and, you know, get their money stream going again, such as personal care shops, beauty shops, and shopping malls. In all zones, bars will remain closed, and teleworking is still compulsory. I totally forgot we had bars. I can't remember the last time we went to a bar and had a drink. When I saw, no, for real though, right? When I saw it in the news article, I'm like, bars? What is that? It's so absent-minded. We haven't been to a bar since the summer. Meanwhile, the reopening of restaurants and gyms in Quebec will only be permitted in 6 regions. And I've seen this thing online and social media. They're saying that Legault only opened up the gyms in regions that voted for him. I said, boy, people are savage online. And of course, Montreal is sadly not included on that list. Legault added that he hopes he can open the gyms and start sports again as soon as possible, but claimed that the current climate does not allow for such to happen at this moment. He goes on to say, we want to have approval from public health. Aruda, the director of public health, said gyms are much higher risk for transmission than hairdressers. Now, Lorena, I want to ask you, how do you feel about that? Because when you work out in a gym, like I have a personal trainer, GoodFit. When we work out one-on-one, like he's really close to me, like he could be at a distance, he's just guiding me into my exercises. Now, how's that different from a hairdresser that's really up on you? And everyone's wearing masks, right? So yeah. How's that different from hairdressers? Do you see a disparity here? Do you think this is really tangible, what they're trying to do here?
Well, there's two sides to it. I think gyms are really important. It's a part of our self-care, it's a part of our mental health, and especially since it's freezing outside, we can't really go outside and exercise like we can in the summer or like spring. So I do think that they need to open some of the gyms. Now, at the gyms, there are some people that aren't clean. People that don't like to wipe down the machines like they should. And people are sweating. So that aspect I do understand. But for me, I took a spin class and it was super clean at the studio. There was enough space. They had the dividers. Everything was super clean. So I felt safe there to go and, you know, exercise.
You took a spin class, Lorena? How fast did you go? You did the uphill one? You did the Soka one? Which one did you do?
I went to support a friend who said, I thought I was going to die.
How long was it, Lorena? Were you done after 15 minutes?
No, I was going. Honestly, the music helped, but I don't spin. I never liked spinning. I did one for a fundraiser. I didn't like it. It's not for me, but I did it to support a friend. But it was super clean, so I would have went back because that was a way for me to exercise.
You know, I just like to shout out Binder Training. I went out to Binder Training. Shout out to my boy Blake, who's also a trainer. And it was super clean, too. They had all stations wiped down. They had the kid right there next. We did intervals. It was a beautiful thing. So though the ban on private gatherings is still active, outdoor activities with up to 4 people from 4 different households in red zones and up to 8 people in orange zones will be authorized as of February 8th. Now, this is my problem with the zones, Lumina, because preparing for the show, I went on the Quebec National website, and the whole thing is red. I was trying to do my due diligence, Montreal. The whole thing was red. Where's orange? The only place that I saw that was orange was really up north, which is like New Nunavut, like really up north. I don't know where's orange. So
I look at the map, but I would figure more orange zones are like the outskirts.
The outskirts, yeah. So the government's also working on a plan to gradually reopen CGEPs and universities after February 8th. If you live in a red zone, the 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew is still in force. Man, it looks like they might lock us in this curfew thing forever. Hopefully not. In orange zones, the curfew will begin at 9:30 p.m. and will end at 5 a.m. because the hour and a half difference is really primordial, Lorena. Legault goes on to say, we are moving in the right direction, but we must remain very cautious and relax the measures gradually, said Legault. Now I want to segue into checkpoints. Now, I always told myself, once we get to curfews and checkpoints, okay, now we're in a military state. Now I feel like we're in North Korea now. So Quebec is not going to set up checkpoints to stop travel between orange and red zones. Our police officers are very, very busy right now. I'm quoting Deputy Premier Genevieve Gibault. She confirmed on February 3rd that police will not be setting up travel checkpoints between Quebec orange zones and red zones. Gibault cited limited police resources and public health authorities' recommendations as justification for the decision to forego checkpoints. Well, Luina, thank God for that, because that would have been really awkward. Because, you know, I'd be on the road all the time, right?
But what are they doing that they're so busy? I don't understand.
Oh, I'm glad that you said that. She goes on to say, our police officers are very, very, very busy right now and are very useful during the curfew and the quarantine, she said, noting that since January 10, Quebec police officers have dished out almost 7,000 COVID-19 related tickets. I would like them to use the same kind of energy that they're using for the curfew to accelerate this vaccine and these protocols. Because they seem to be really gung-ho about this curfew. The police seem to be really excited about stopping people. Now, I understand it's a health risk. I understand we are in a pandemic. But I'm looking at their energy, Lorena. It's looking kind of shifty. And we have two other news reports that's going to back up that statement that I just made. She goes on to say it's a question of priority of action. There are 15,000 police officers in Quebec for a population of 8 million. 15,000 police officers in Quebec for a population of 8 million. But they seem to all be in Côte des Neiges, if you ask me, Lorena. like the whole 15K is in Côte des Neiges.
No, I'm pretty sure they're all in certain areas. There's no areas they're in. And I feel like they're just trying to collect money to make their quota or whatever, because it's been a little slow for them, probably.
Do you think that the SPVM should say how they're going to allocate this money, that all the money that they're gaining from the tickets, right? I'm under the belief that when the city finds your ticket, that money goes back into the city coffers, right? So with all these tickets being so, you know, outrageously high, $6,000 being the top end of the tickets here, that's a lot of money. And you talk about 7,000 tickets, 7,000 times six, you know, that's some good money. I told you they're going to make back that CERB change. I wasn't playing. Yeah. The deputy mayor said the government continually relies on the good faith of Quebecers. Luina, how do you feel about the good faith about Quebecers? I believe that Montrealers are very rebellious.
Well, I feel like he's already put in good faith previously when he made the different restrictions, and they didn't work out. So you need to
Well, you know, we keep saying that we need to change things, but also us as a population, as a society in Montreal and Quebec, we have to get to a point. Come on, we have to have like a group meeting or something. Like, we have to show in this curve. We have to get to a solution here. We can't keep going from curfew to not curfew, lockdown to not lockdown. I would like the government to just tell us, listen, if you guys do this, this will be the outcome at the end. Something simple like that, but, you know, we can't even get to that point. I'd like to add on this right here. Traveling between regions is heavily, heavily discouraged. We ask to not travel from one region to another, except when having an excellent reason to do so. And that's where a lot of problems are arising, Lorena. The justification of the reason for the travel. So that's just based upon the police's vibe, right? Like, however they feel your reason is good enough. Oh boy, Lorena, man, I feel like we're in a controlled state. I can't wait for this pandemic to be done. I'm dying for a beach. I'm going cabin crazy. I know I'm not the only Montrealer feeling this way.
No, everybody is, especially with this weather.
Well, on a more positive note, Canada labels the Proud Boys neo-Nazi groups as terrorists, according to CBC. So Public Safety Minister Bill Blair announced on Thursday that the federal government will designate 13 groups as terrorist entities, adding some white nationalists and neo-Nazi groups to a list already populated with militant Islamist organizations. So the federal government will now classify the Proud Boys, which is a neo-Nazi fascist organization with chapters in Canada and the U.S. Yes, people, there are Proud Boys in Canada. People want to make it seem like Canada is this non-racist country. We have racism in Canada, obviously. I'm definitely going to mess this up, Luna. The Atowafin Division, the AWD, a group that calls for acts of violence against racial, religious, and ethnic groups. And The Base, another neo-Nazi organization that advocates for violence to incite a race war, as terrorist entities under the criminal code. You know what? Let me clap up to that. It's about time. Let's start throwing some labels on these guys. Because once the label is there, once you guys catch them, I don't want to hear no, oh, you know, no, they should just be locked up, right, Luina? That's my thinking, right?
I'm hoping. I mean, this was a good step. I was surprised that they took it, but let's hope that it really turns into something.
Too many steps, not enough initiatives, Luina. I'm tired of the little baby steps. So a group is added to the terrorist list if Canada's security and intelligence agencies, after an extremely rigorous probe, find reasonable grounds to believe that an entity has knowingly participated in or facilitated terrorist activity, the government said in an announcement of the new designation. So now we know how people get on the terrorist list. You know, Lorena, what we don't talk enough about is Canada's security and intelligence agencies. Where's the head office? What do you guys do? What do they do, Lorena? What do they do? And speaking about what they do, let's talk about the police a little bit. The SPVM. I feel like every week is like, it's like a blooper reel of like, what could the Montreal police do wrong this week? So how I started the news, preparing the news, I found this article that said a man was charged with attempted murder of alleged involvement in violent traffic stop in Montreal. So a man was facing attempted murder charges after allegedly disarming and shooting at a Montreal police officer during a traffic stop last week, Thursday. So the accuser was, I apologize if I messed up his name, was Mamadi Farah Kamara. He's 31, and he was being charged initially. The victim was Officer Sanjay Vig. The police spokesperson Jean-Pierre Brabant said the altercation occurred during a traffic stop just before 4 p.m. outside 900 Cremazie Boulevard West in Park Extension. You know, Park X is, Park X is wild country. You got to be careful after dark. Shout out to all my PX people. So following the stop, the suspect allegedly took Vig's firearm off his belt. The officer fled down an alleyway, fearing for his life, police said. The suspect is accused of following him and allegedly shooting at the officer twice. So they found Kamara and they said he did it. Lord and behold, Lorena, they had to release him. So Mamadi Farah Kamara is a doctoral student with no criminal record and has been released from custody. Charges have abruptly been stayed against the man accused for trying to kill a Montreal police officer last week. I want to talk about the verbiage a little bit in that right there real quick, Lorena. What do they mean by abruptly? It feels like the police was forced to change this. No, you guys were wrong. You guys got the wrong... Like, why don't they just admit when they're wrong? You guys were wrong. So Mamadi Kamara, 31, appeared in court Wednesday for what was supposed to be a bail hearing. Instead, the Crown announced that in light of new information... Oh my gosh, they actually did their job, Lorena. New information, that's what that means. I'm just translating for those at home listening. The Crown would not pursue charges against him for now. So Kamara was released immediately, much to the relief of dozens of his family members who gathered at the courthouse. He had been detained since last Thursday. Imagine that you're a doctoral student, you have no criminal record, and they have you for shooting the police. Imagine the treatment they gave him in jail, Lorena. Oh! Kamara had been accused of disarming and injuring a Montreal police officer during a routine traffic stop in Park Extension. He also faced charges of aggravated assault against a police officer and discharging a prohibited firearm. However, the prosecution stayed proceedings after new evidence surfaced, according to Audrey Roy Cloutier, a spokesperson for the Director de Poursuites Criminelles et Pénales. So the DPCP said, we found some new information. We were wrong. Now, I want to ask you this, Lumina. Maybe about a year and a half ago, we had, a lot of black groups have put this recommendation that the SPVM should have body cams. And we've seen the usefulness of it in the States. And for some reason, Valerie Plante, they kind of danced around it. SPVM kind of pushed back about it. It didn't happen. At what point are we as a city going to be like, you know what? The police need to wear body cams. And now, granted, I understand. I know some of my black people going to say, listen, we have them on videos in the States and the police still go without, they still get off. But we need to record the evidence. I think there's a power in the evidence. Do you believe that we should come back with body cams, Lorena?
I think we should. But then, like you said, sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes they don't have it on. They turn it off. So I don't know if it will be like a great investment. But something does have to be done, because for someone to be falsely accused.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And I think he's like expecting kids.
Twins. Yeah. Imagine the trauma. We're dealing with a pandemic. We're dealing with people being locked in, cabin fever, all these added issues. And then they want to lock you up and say you shot at a police officer. Oh my God. The madness continues, Lorena. Driving while black, lawyer files complaint after he was handcuffed during a traffic stop in Montreal. Listen, man, I am tired of this thing about fitting the description. Do your job, SPVM. Let me walk through this story with you, Lorena. Montreal, my city. We locked in. So a Laval lawyer is filing a complaint with the police ethics commissioner after he says he was handcuffed in front of his teenage daughter. Believe that. It's like a scene out of the movie Crash, Lorena, during what should have been a routine traffic stop in Montreal. So he goes, I've been reliving it in my head constantly, even at night in my bed, said, and I apologize if I'm messing up his name, Kouadwo Yiboua. I'm like, anything could have happened. Imagine the fear, like, you know, that happens to you. You get handcuffed in front of your daughter. And he's reliving it in his head. And this is the trauma that blacks facing all the time. Over and over, the trauma just keeps trickling on. So last week on Thursday night at 6:30 p.m., Yiboua picked up his daughter in Montreal and was driving her home in his wife's Mercedes. They were stopping in Chinatown to pick up dinner. Shout out to Monan, VIP. You know how we do things, Lorena. So Yiboua said his daughter was on the phone when a Montreal police officer pulled him over. The first question that he asked me was, where are you going? I said, okay. So far, I'm rolling, Lorena. Routine question.
Yeah.
Yeboua said he told the police he was heading to a nearby restaurant with his daughter. The police said, whose car is this? Yeboua answered, it's my wife's car. The officer asked for the lawyer's papers. Yeboua handed over his driver's license, but had trouble finding his registration. So Yeboua says, so I opened my door, turned around, and I did one step, and he grabbed my right hand, twisted it, my phone fell, and he said, you're under arrest for giving me a fake driver's license, he said. Boy, did that turn fast. Girl, yeah, boy, did that turn fast. The police here are so quick to act, man. There's no common courtesy. And you think to yourself, a police officer is a civil servant. They act as if they're monarchs. They act as if they were born into this Christ-given duty, Lorena, like the Pope has beseeched on them, Lorena. So at that point, Yiboua said his daughter got out of their car and asked what was going on. He said, I told her, Kenya, record, record, record. And I want to let people know, I've researched this. You can videotape the police at all interactions with them as long as you're not interfering with their due process. So if they're talking, you go film them. And as black people, I urge you to film all your interactions with them, because they do not believe us when we file our reports, but you cannot refute a video. So he said, I told Kenya, record, record, record. And the police are yelling at her, no, go back into the car and sit down. If not, you will get into trouble. Hold on now, what? What's going on here? So Yiboua said she's standing not knowing what to do. Listen to me or the cops. She goes back to the car. I see her crying on the phone with her mom. More trauma, Lorena.
Yep.
Yiboua was handcuffed and placed into the police car for 15 minutes. This is a routine traffic stop. Just about showing his license and his registration. That led to him being handcuffed and detained for 15 minutes. This guy's a lawyer. A professional. I told y'all all the time. They don't care what car you drive. They don't care what profession you have. Once we leave our house and you're black, you're just another black person. So he was handcuffed in the police car for 50 minutes. He said officers started going through his phone. Hold on now. They're not allowed to do that, Lorena. He goes, I tell them, hey, you cannot search my stuff like that. It's covered by solicitor-client privilege. I'm a lawyer. You know you can't do that. He goes, they started to laugh. As if black people can't be lawyers. As if we can't be professionals. And this shows the ignorant level that some police officers in SPV have. And when we talk about sensitivity training, this is what we're talking about. He said police went through his wallet and saw cards that identified him as a member of the Bar Association. Now the story takes a turn, Lorena. They came back to the car and he tells me, listen, if you're not too mad, we're going to remove the handcuff. And I asked him, don't you feel I have the right to be mad? He said, these guys are crazy. Yiboua said police proceeded to give him a $490 ticket for driving while having a cell phone. I was thinking all of this for that. What happened with the fake driver's license? All of a sudden it's gone. Oh boy, Yiboua said he believes it was a case of driving while black. He says, if I was a white person, this wouldn't have happened, he said. Even if you suspected I was using my phone, how do we go from there to being handcuffed for 15 minutes? He goes, I have colleagues at work who tell me they were driving with a license, with a suspended license, and the cop came to the car and was greeted with, hey, how are you? You know we get a different greeting, right? Let me know. For those that don't know, if you're not black, you don't know, we get a different kind of greeting. And of course, Montreal police say they don't comment on individual cases, but if anyone feels they were mistreated by police, they can file a complaint.
Good answer.
15,000 police officers in Montreal for 8 million citizens.
Are there?
I don't like how the SPVM does their job. I feel it needs to be an overhaul. I feel that the whole training system needs to be overhauled. There's just a lack of sensitivity. And still, we put these recommendations in a year and a half ago, Lorena, and nothing has really changed. We're still four times more likely than our white counterparts to be stopped or pulled over by police. Four is a big number. Four times more? That's crazy. But let's change energy a little bit here. Let's go with a little bit of culture in Montreal, because you know Montrealers feel about St. Patrick's Day. So Montreal St. Patrick's Day parade has been canceled again, Lorena. But it could be held on another date. So what a load. I don't know if this is a bad word, but what a load of blarney. On Sunday, the United Irish Societies announced Montreal's annual St. Patrick's Day parade has been canceled due to COVID-19 for the second year in a row. But this is understandable, no? Right? Like, you know, we're in a pandemic. We, you know, large gatherings are a little bit suspect right now. At this time, the health and safety of the Montreal community is our greatest priority, stated parade organizers. We must act in the best interest and well-being of all organizers, volunteers, participants, and spectators. So the 198th edition of the parade was scheduled for March 14th. That's crazy. They've been doing the St. Patrick's Day parade for 198 years. Shout out to them, man. So it's not going to be going on, but it may be rescheduled for a later date. I know a lot of organizers, I know a lot of event people are hoping that we have a certain level of normalcy this summer. How hopeful are you, Lorena? Are you looking forward to us having a normal summer? I just want to go to the bar. I was going to say strip club, but I can't say it on the morning show. But I just want to go to the bar a little bit, Lorena. I said it anyway, right? It's the morning detour. You know we're a little controversial on the morning a little bit, Lorena. How hopeful are you?
Go out with my girls and get a drink. I would like to do that.
I forgot we used to do that. and that's scary. Like I told the fellas, hey, listen, man, you know we're going to DR when this is done. We need to sunbathe a little bit. Oh, and another great news. I think this guy is like Lex Luthor, but in real life. Jeff Bezos will be stepping down as CEO of Amazon this summer. So the billionaire is leaving his role after 27 years. Nearly 27 years after founding Amazon, Jeff Bezos announced he's officially stepping down as CEO. Bezos will not be leaving the company entirely, though, as he will be transitioning to the position of executive chair of the Amazon board during the company's third quarter. Andy Jassy, the former chief executive of Amazon Web Services, will take over as CEO of Amazon. In an email to employees, Bezos said he is confident in Jassy's ability to lead the company. He goes on to say, Andy is well known inside the company and has been at Amazon's almost as long as I have. He'll be an outstanding leader and has my full confidence, said Bezos. So the billionaire said stepping down will give him extra time to focus on projects like the Day One Fund, Bezos Earth Fund, Blue Origin, The Washington Post, and other passions. Listen, when you're a billionaire, listen, you got to enjoy the money a little bit, right, Lorena? All right.
He's still going to be making lots of money, so...
Listen, Amazon is a behemoth. It's not even a corporation, it's a behemoth. I'll just go on to say, Jeff Bezos says that, I never had more energy, and this isn't about retiring. I'm super passionate about the impact I think these organizations can have. So shout out to Jeff Bezos, man, transitioning into a second wind in life. He 27 years, he built this behemoth, which is Amazon. I think a billion people order off Amazon every day. It's just the norm now. What happened to eBay? You know, I was thinking about that the other day. What happened to eBay? How did Amazon and eBay are pretty much the same kind of platform. How did Amazon get eBay out of here? What happened to eBay?
Not a lot of them. eBay, Zappos, and the rest of them. Like, it just took over.
I have no idea how Amazon did it, but kudos to Jeff Bezos and the team. In sad news, it's important that, you know, we talk about this, man. We lost a legend, Lorena. We lost a great Montreal. Cicely Tyson, iconic and influential actress, dies at 96. Cicely Tyson, an award-winning icon at the stage and screen who broke barriers for black actresses with surpassing dignity, died Thursday after her longtime manager, Larry Thompson, confirmed to CNN. She was 96. A family statement did not reveal the cause of death. The actress chronicled her lengthy career in her first memoir, Just As I Am, which was just released last Tuesday. Imagine that. You just released your memoir and she passed a couple days later. That's real sad. Tyson embodied African-American women who demanded attention. And more than that, respect. She played former slaves, civil rights icons, sharecroppers, truth tellers, mothers, and other complicated women, bringing a sense of depth and nobility and grace to every character. Her filmography includes some of the most celebrated movies and television shows featuring black women in major roles. You have Sonder back in 1972. You have the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman, great movie, 1974. Of course, you have Roots, 1977. I'm about to watch Roots tonight. You have the Marva Collins story, 1981. You have The Woman of Brewster's Palace, great movie, 1989. And you have The Help, 2011, great movie. I felt like she embodied my mom and her character as well. It was really, really dope. The thing about Cicely Tyson for me, when I look back at her movie, at just her body of work, she brought a certain level of class to black women. The image of black women that she painted on screen was such a noble image. And the fact that she acted all the way to the end just shows how much love she had for the craft of being an actress. We lost a great Lorena.
No, she was amazing. And she was actually the first black woman that wore her natural hair on TV. So she is a trailblazer as well.
Lorena, you are just a treasure trove of just fun black facts. Look at you in the Crown Project in the building. I'd like to add on. She said her most important accomplishment happened in 2016 when President Barack Obama awarded her the Medal of Freedom. In her long and extraordinary career, Cicely Tyson has not only exceeded as an actor, she has shaped the course of history, Obama said that day.
The Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
I'm in love with your hands tonight. Yeah, they give you this alibi. I don't know, cause I'm lost in your eyes. I hope my heart don't break too much when I wake from the way she touch. I'm so weak cause I can't get enough. You say that you love me. Oh, I never thought we'd be like that. I've been running in a thousand tries. You say that you love me. So why do you lie to me? Why do you lie to me? Why do